Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, we're going to begin a short new series on selections from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is often referred to as the law psalm that often references loving and meditating on God's law or precepts and has much to say about the importance of being in the Word of God in order to better know and love Him. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, having 176 verses, but we'll only be dealing with a very small section of the psalm in this series of 8 messages. Pastor Matthew Judd begins this series of messages on Psalm 119 with today's sermon titled, Asking the Right Question, and it's based on verse 9. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, we'll read through verse 36. This is God's word. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." As for our reading in the Gospel of John, I then invite you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in Scripture, 176 verses. It is divided into 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. The 22 stanzas are intentional because there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and therefore each of the 8 verses and each of the 22 stanzas begin in the original language with an individual Hebrew letter. So like our ABCs, Psalm 119, the first 8 verses begin with what we would call the letter A. In Hebrew, it's Aleph. And the next 8 verses begin with the letter Bet or B, what we would say B. And even in thinking about the first 2 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, it sounds like Aleph Beth, Alpha Bet, right? It sounds similar to our alphabet. We'll read verses 1 through 9 tonight. We are going to be starting a sermon series, as I said, in verses 9 through 16. And we're going to be looking tonight just at verse 9 for our sermon text. But we'll read verses 1 through 9. Hear then God's word. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Having heard God's word, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it often starts young. We learn how to ask questions to try to get our own way. We learn how to ask questions in order to get what we want, even if what we want is potentially self-destructive. You can think of the 4-year-old who says, "How can I get my mommy to let me eat chocolate cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?" And we may smile and think, what a cute little 4-year-old. But if Johnny, the 4-year-old, only ate chocolate cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I dare say he would not be thriving in terms of his physical prowess. But we learn young how to ask the wrong questions, don't we? How can I get rich and famous? How can I gratify my lusts? How can I get around the system? How can I get away with it and not get caught? How can I fool my parents? How can I take advantage of the loopholes? How can I keep my dirty secrets from being found out? How close can I get to the edge and not fall over? How can I get away with doing the least amount possible? How can I take what isn't mine? How can I get my way, no matter what? Oh, we learn very early on how to ask all the wrong questions. Well, if I'm so good at asking all the wrong questions, what is the question that I should be asking? What's the question that you should be asking? Well, that's a good question. In fact, that's an excellent question to start with. We actually are getting somewhere when we ask that question. What should I be asking if I am prone to ask all the wrong questions? And it's here that I can't help you because I'm in the same boat with you. I am prone to ask all the wrong questions. I'm in the same sinking boat with you. Rather, it is God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who alone must both give you the right question to ask and the right answer to this right question. And so tonight, as we come to Psalm 119 and verse 9, the Lord confronts you and me with two truths. Two truths tonight. First of all, the Lord alone enables you to ask the right question. And secondly, the Lord alone grants you to hear the right answer. Very straightforward, right out of the text, right out of verse 9. And so, first of all, let's explore this first point. The Lord alone enables you to ask the right question. Here in verse 9 is the right question that you and I should be asking. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man keep his way pure? This is the question that the Lord would place upon your lips tonight. This is the right question for each one here tonight, whether we are young men or just young in heart. It is the question for each one of you to ask. Why? Why is this the right question to ask? Well, first of all, because it's an important question. It's an important question. It's a question about your way. It's a question about your pathway. It's a question about the pathway which your life is walking on. It is a question which indeed exposes the fact that every one of us here tonight is walking on a pathway. And the Bible teaches us that there are only two principal pathways in life. And you are on either one or the other. You're either on the narrow way, which leads unto life, or you're on the broad way, which leads unto destruction. That's what Jesus, in fact, tells us very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. And that is implied here in terms of verse 9. And that's why this is such an important question. Which way does your life align with? Does your way align with the pathway of sin and death, or with the pathway of life and righteousness? This is obviously a very important question because each of these pathways ends up at a different destination. But it's not only the right question because it's an important question. It's the right question because it is a sensitive question. A sensitive question. There is a recognition of two things in this question. How can a young man, how can a young woman, how can I cleanse my way? It's a sensitive question because there's a recognition, first of all, that my way needs to be cleansed. There needs to be an initial cleansing. We might say there needs to be an initial bath, which takes place, wherein I am cleansed from head to toe and placed upon a new pathway, indeed the pathway which leads unto life, the pathway of life and righteousness. But it's not just a sensitive question because there's the recognition that your way needs to be cleansed with an initial cleansing. It's a sensitive question because there is the recognition that your pathway needs to be kept clean. There must be an ongoing cleansing. We might say, once you've had the initial bath, there needs to be a cleansing of the feet as you walk through this world wherein your feet get soiled and dirty. We can even think of Jesus in the upper room on the night in which he is betrayed. You remember what he does there? There's an argument. There's an argument between his disciples about who would be the greatest. Think about it. Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. He's about to go to Calvary's cross to pay for the sins of his people. And there's an argument among the disciples about who would be the greatest. And do you remember what Jesus does? He takes off his teacher's robe and he kneels down and he washes the feet of his disciples. He comes to Peter and Peter says, "You'll never wash my feet," because this was the most menial task which a household slave would do. And you might note that all of the disciples were too proud to have washed the feet of anybody else in that room, so they all just were there with dirty feet. But Jesus tells Peter, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. You're not connected to me. I'm of no benefit to you." And so Peter says, "Well, don't just wash my feet, wash my head. Wash me all over, Lord." And Jesus says, "He who is cleansed only needs to have his feet washed." What's the point? The point is that Jesus says, you've already been washed. You've already taken the bath because you're united to me by faith. You're connected to me. You're following me. You've taken up your cross to follow me. But as you walk through the world, your feet need to be cleansed each and every day in dependence upon me. And so this question, how can a young man cleanse his way, is a sensitive question, recognizing that my way needs to be cleansed with an initial cleansing as I am taken off of the pathway of defilement, which leads to death, and placed upon the pathway of life. But my pathway needs to be kept clean. The feet need to be cleansed on a daily basis. The word which is used here, how can a young man cleanse his way, means literally to make clean, to be clean, to make pure. It's used only 8 times in the Old Testament, but 2 of those times are quite memorable. One is in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, and it's there that God is speaking to his people. His people who had had the privileges of the covenant, who had been circumcised, identified as his covenant people, and yet were walking in rebellion against him. And it's in Isaiah chapter 1, where in verse 16 we read this, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool." Here's that cleansing, right? That cleansing, for some who were hearing that, they needed that initial cleansing. For others, it was that daily ongoing cleansing which was needed. Another passage which uses this same Hebrew word is in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51 and verse 7, David, the human author of that psalm, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he recorded his confession of sin. his confession of sin after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Bathsheba's husband Uriah murdered. And in Psalm 51 in verse 7, he says this as he prays to the Lord, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, I dare say there's nobody here who has a hyssop bush in their backyard garden or anything along those lines, but why purge me with hyssop? What's going on there? Why cleansing via hyssop? Well, the hyssop branch was taken from the hyssop bush, and it would be dipped into the sacrificial blood of the animal which had just been killed in my place. And as that branch was dipped into the blood, it absorbed the blood with a significant amount of blood, and then the priest would use that to whoosh the people with the blood. We think about sprinkling in the Old Testament. It wasn't like drip, drip, drip. It was whooshing. And here David says, "Purge me with hyssop. I am so filthy, I need to be covered from head to toe with the blood sacrifice which alone can take away my sin." And so the Lord enables you to ask the right question by showing you this is an important question. This is a sensitive question. How can a young man cleanse his way? But it's also a timely question, isn't it? It's a question for the young man, and by extension, for everybody here amongst us. But it is a question for the young man. We might ask, why is this singled out? Well, to be a young man is to be one who is at the peak of physical prowess, to be buff. Scripture acknowledges this. And Scripture also puts up the red flag right here. The young man is often characterized in Scripture by having the strongest of desires and is characterized by demanding complete independence. Think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He comes to his father. And what does he demand of his father? He says, "Give me my inheritance." When do you get an inheritance? When your father's dead. Here is the young man in all of his brashness saying, "You're as good as dead to me, Dad. I'd rather have your money than have you." Here's the young man. The young man who can say, "I'll do it on my own." The young man who is often susceptible to youthful lusts. Think of Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, and Proverbs chapter 7. The young man who is easily allured to the house of the seductress and does not know that it will cost him his life. Oh, there is instant gratification which the young man often seeks. And the idea of self-control, the idea of holding back, the idea of being one who asks the right question never crosses his mind. This is the young man who has particular pitfalls: pride and pleasure, lust and laziness, greed and gluttony, comfort and ease, infant gratification rules, or at least seems to rule 24/7, 365 days a year. How can a young man cleanse his way? There are particular pressures from within, strong passions, particular pressures from without, peer pressure to conform, to join in, or risk being ostracized. How can a young man cleanse his way? Oh, If these things are not dealt with in the flower of life, then what will it look like when the oak tree has grown to be 60 years old and can no longer be bent, can no longer be changed? Yes, how can a young man cleanse his way? The Lord enables you to ask the right question. This is an important question. This is a sensitive question. This is a timely question. And this is a practical question. It's a practical question. How? By what means? It's not just theoretical, but very practical. Tell me how. I must know. I will not cease asking until I know. And that's the idea here, is that this is a question which should be asked over and over and over again, and that we cannot be satisfied with asking it only once and then not even waiting around for the answer to the question. It's a question which is practical and must continue to be asked until the answer is received. And so the Lord tonight enables you to ask the right question. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man keep his way pure? But it's not enough to ask the right question. And that leads then to our second point tonight, that the Lord alone grants you to hear the right answer. The Lord alone grants you to hear the right answer. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. By keeping your word. By guarding your word. By living out your word. Here the answer is straightforward and to the point. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. But what does it mean? What does the answer actually mean? By taking heed according to your word. Now you may know that Psalm 119 is all about God's word. It's all about the importance of the word of God. It's all about the preciousness of the word of God. It's all about the power of the word of God. It's all about, indeed, the grace of the God of the Word. And here is the answer to the right question. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. This means that you must pay attention to God's Word. That is at least a part of what this answer means. You must pay attention to God's word. And let me suggest three word pictures for you in terms of paying attention to the word of God. First of all, the word picture of a mirror. Of a mirror. You go and you look in the mirror. What do you see? You see yourself. That's what you see. You come to God's word and you look into God's word. And what do you see? You see a mirror, which shows you how you fall short of the glory of God. You say, well, why would I want to look into that mirror? Ha! Because that mirror doesn't lie. That mirror will tell you the truth. How things are between you and your Creator. How things really are. Not how you want them to be. Not how you wish that they might be. But you come to God's Word and it acts like a mirror to show you something, to show you, can I put it this way? Your filth. You say, well, that's not a kind thing to say about me, Pastor. Well, we're talking about cleansing. How can a young man cleanse his way? I have to see that I'm dirty if I indeed even appreciate that I must be cleansed. It's the vanity of young men to think that they look great. But God's word comes and humbles us and shows you and me that we fall short of the glory of God and that we sin in thought, word, and deed against our Creator, that we breathe His air and we eat the food of His earth and we use the strength which the air and oxygen and the food which we eat, we use that strength to rebel against our God. the one who upholds our very lives. And so if you're going to pay attention to God's Word, you need to pay attention to God's Word as a mirror and allow God's Word to show you your filthiness. But you need to pay attention to God's Word not only as a mirror, you need to pay attention to God's Word as a map. As a map. Now, we don't use maps a whole lot anymore. Everybody's got a GPS. Right? We don't. But I like maps. Is anybody here who likes maps? Like a big atlas to open up and you can look at that map and you can actually trace out your route and so forth. And so you don't only see the next 600 feet on your GPS, but you actually see the big picture, right? You see actually your destination point. You put it into the GPS where you're going and for a moment you see the destination point, but then when you press go, the destination point disappears and all you see is where you are now. But God's Word is a map. As it's a mirror, it shows you your filth, but as a map, it's meant to lead you to a destination, the destination where you can have and find cleansing. Cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, to pay attention to God's Word is, yes, to pay attention to it as a mirror, as your filth is exposed, but to pay attention to God's Word as a map which leads you to the Savior who alone can wash you and cleanse you, give you the bath, and having given you the bath, wash your feet daily. And so to pay attention to God's Word is to pay attention to His Word as a mirror, as a map, and as a manual. As a manual. Now, again, the presumption of the young man is that I don't need the manual. Right? Why do I need to read the instructions? I know how this thing goes together. I can put it together, and it's not just a symptom of young men. It's a symptom of old men. It's a symptom of all of us that we think we don't need the manual. And we can put it all together on our own. And sometimes it works out. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work out very well at all. But what about all of the most important things of life? I tell you that without the manual, it'll never work out. It'll never work out. Oh, you need to pay attention to God's Word as a manual to guide you in the way of the Savior. If it is a map, that is, if God's Word is a map to lead you to the Savior, it is a manual to guide you in the way, the pathway of the Savior when Jesus says, follow me. When Jesus says, take up your cross and come after me. Oh yes, it is in the Word of God that we find a guide in terms of the way of the Savior. It's not enough to listen a little bit and that's long enough. We need to pay attention to God's Word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. Pay attention to God's Word then when it's read. Pay attention to God's Word when it's preached. Pay attention to God's Word when you open it up to read it privately. What's the opposite of paying attention to God's Word? Well, it's to ignore it. To tune it out. To turn away from it. To be distracted. And oh, there are a million and one distractions which face us every day in terms of the world in which we live. Every generation has had its set of distractions, but it seems in a particular way that we have more distractions than we even know how to count. And it's so easy to ignore the Word of God. It's interesting, isn't it? You can hang on to the number of likes on Instagram. You can spend hours looking at and reading and reposting mindless memes. You can keep up a 77-day streak on Snapchat. But sadly, you can't pay attention to the Word of God. Yeah. Isn't it sad? Ah, but God here puts the right question on your lips and He enables you to hear the right answer. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, paying attention to God's word. But there's more than just paying attention to God's word in verse 9. There's also what I might call being on guard according to God's word, taking heed. The idea here is that you're on guard, according to God's word. And we might wonder, on guard against what? Against danger. Against danger. We can think of a scientist who is working on the anthrax virus. He's in the lab. And what does he do? He takes every precaution so that no harm comes to him or to others. I cannot drop anything. I cannot shake my hand too much. While it would be easy to make a simple mistake in the lab with the anthrax virus, the consequences are deadly. And God says that according to his word, we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard if we are to be those who have a pathway which is cleansed, a pathway which is leading unto life, our lives on that pathway. And so you need to be on guard according to God's word, on guard against yourself. Yeah, one of the greatest enemies that we have is ourselves. Ourselves. After all, think about it. If God warned you against the fires of lust, will you not realize that you are made of dry straw? If God warns you against drowning in drunkenness, will you not realize that you are made of lead and how quickly you can sink? If God warns you against falling into the dishonoring of your parents, will you play at the edge of the cliff? If God warns you against the forgetfulness of the Sabbath, will you not realize how readily you suffer from selective amnesia? If God warns you against the fires of sinful anger, will you not realize that you're made of black powder and how destructive your anger can be to others and how defiling of your Savior? Oh, you need to be on guard against yourself, fleshly lusts which war against your soul. You need to be on guard against seducers who would trick you into following them into evil. You need to be on guard against intruders who would break in to rob you of that which is of everlasting value. You need to be on guard against shortcuts wherein you become careless with the word of God, superficial with religion, or merely going through the motions. Religiosity saves no one. Pure and undefiled religion is to visit widows and orphans in their need and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Yes, we need to be on guard according to the word of God. God warns us against that which is a danger to us and a danger to our relationship to him. God warns us against the wounds and the scars which indeed can be experienced because of our folly and our foolishness. And so we need to be a people who are on guard. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Paying attention to your word. Being on guard according to your word. But also being observant. Being observant according to God's word. To put into practice what you know. By taking heed. Keeping God's word. Obeying it. Obeying what you know. This is the key to growing in Christ's likeness. Oh, the word which is used here has the idea of exercising great care over something, paying careful attention to something, giving heed to something, and obeying. Obeying something. How can a young man cleanse his way? By being observant. Observant of the word of God. Not a mere hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. James 2 warns us against being mere hearers and deceiving ourselves. But we are to be not merely hearers, but doers. In fact, this word which is used here in the Hebrew language, taking heed according to your word, is used 22 times in Psalm 119. 22 times, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It's interesting how this idea of guarding, observing, paying attention is used 22 times in this psalm. To keep your precepts. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I shall keep your statutes. I will keep your word. I shall keep your law with all my heart. Give me understanding. I shall keep your law continually. I shall keep your law. I have promised to keep your words, to keep your commandments. I am a companion with those who keep your precepts. I keep your word. I keep the testimony of your mouth. I keep your word and I have restrained my feet from going astray. Keep your righteous judgments, O Lord. Keep your precepts. Oh, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Save me and I will keep your testimonies. They do not keep your word. My soul keeps and loves exceedingly your testimonies. I keep your precepts and your testimonies. Oh, this is an emphasis throughout Psalm 119. It's not a mere theoretical psalm. To be sure, it was composed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a poetic form, an alphabetical form, so that it could be memorized. You say, boy, that's a big task to memorize 176 verses, and it is. But it was intentionally written this way so that it could be memorized, not just so that you could get a gold star or your name on a plaque or your name in New Horizons magazine. But it was written this way to hide in your heart so that you would observe it. That you would love God's word. That you would be one who pays attention to that word, who is on guard according to that word, and who is observant of the word of God. And so the Lord enables you tonight to ask the right question. How can a young man cleanse his way? Sadly, many don't and many will not ask this question. They don't deem it to be important, and nor do they deem it to be the right question. But I am persuaded of better things of you. Oh, by God's grace, will you each day ask this question? Will you not take it as an assignment this week to ask this question every day? Oh, Lord, how can a young man cleanse his way? It's a sensitive and timely question because I am sensitive to my own defilement and my need for cleansing. It's timely because today is the day of salvation, even as we heard this morning. And we must not put off these things until tomorrow, for the day of grace may indeed come to a close before tomorrow. But the Lord doesn't only enable you to ask the right questions tonight, He enables you to hear the right answer by taking heed according to your word. I'm reminded of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. To know the Word of God has a goal. The goal of knowing the Word of God is to know the God of the Word. Don't ever forget that. The goal of knowing the Word of God is that you might know the God of the Word.
and to know the God of the Word and Jesus Christ whom he has sent is to know eternal life. And to know eternal life is to be connected to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And to be connected to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is to abide in his word. You are my disciples indeed if you abide in my word. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, yes. Jesus in the upper room washed the feet of his disciples. And then he said to them in John chapter 15 and verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." My word spoken to you, connecting you to me, drawing you irresistibly unto me, that you as a branch in the vine would abide in me and my word abide in you, and that you would bear much fruit. And you would know the cleansed way of the young man, of the young woman, of the middle-aged man, of the middle-aged woman, of the old man, of the old woman. You would know the cleansed way which Jesus has opened for you. The way unto him. The way of life. Here then is the right question and the right answer. May we give heed to what God says to us tonight. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."